From scratch, from scratch, from scratch, from scratch, from scratch.
Welcome to the From Scratch podcast. I'm Martin Cousins, and
my name is Nigel Payne.
So I was at the Festival of Work this week in that lovely exhibition venue without any daylight, Excel in London, and I went to a couple of sessions. So we were just talking about this before we've come on air, and I was telling you, Nigel, that I went to see Tim Harford, who's an author, journalist, economist,
broadcaster.
Yeah, but he does the More or Less program.
He does More or Less, yes, which I love. I listen to that every week.
Yeah, so he was there talking about data and its impact on behavior, and a bit about AI was in the mix too. And Nigel said, oh, why don't we talk about that? So here we are. And my warning is that I am not, although I do research as a part of my work, I'm in no way the kind of level he is at in terms of his understanding of data and models and all of that. However, I thought, because he's a journalist, he articulated some of the challenges around data and its impact on behavior really well. And I just came away from this session thinking, this is the kind of session that an L&D conference needs, because I think it's really cut through. It takes us right back at a time when we have so much data. What is it we're actually trying to measure? And what is the impact of those measures on the behaviours of people in an organisation? That's actually quite an important part of the whole data picture. So, does that make sense, Nigel? Should we give that?
It does. I think it does. And in a world where we are going to be tripping over data, I think we're generating amazing amounts of additional data, partly through AI, but partly through technologies which are much more sensitive to what's going on and can pick up and tabulate and formulate and analyze data. We need to get much smarter at this. And I think you're right. There's a little bit of worry that people are manipulating data or drawing conclusions without really understanding what they're drawing conclusions on. And they're making assumptions and they are confirming their own biases. And it's easy to do. We know about confirmation bias. We've known about it for decades, that if you want to find something and you look hard enough, you'll find it. And we're still at a very immature stage, I think, with actually measuring learning's impact. But learning without impact is, I would argue, almost a complete waste of time. It's just and I'm not in the entertainment business. I'd like to make an impact on the world. So in this crazy situation where data comes easy, it's much better to gather data than not, that you can draw conclusions. How many people are able to draw accurate conclusions, look data fairly and squarely in the eye, and come up with a real, genuine measurement of impact rather than a fabricated measure or no measure at all? So that is a dilemma, I think. And he's right. Harford's right to put a little question mark about what we know and what we don't know and how we draw conclusions. More or Less is basically ridiculing the statements that are made, drawn from data, which have got absolutely nothing to do with the data. And he's very good at pouring scorn and pushing a light on all of those manipulative and unreliable ways we make data tell a story that is the wrong story. And I worry about how much L&D has come to grips with this new availability and what they're going to do with it and what they mean by measurement. That's why I really don't.
So he picked up on, I totally agree. And he picked up on this thing called quantification fixation. It's like a cognitive bias where people focus too much on the metric, even though it might not fully capture what matters. So an example might be the amount of content published versus the quality or impact of that content. So a lot in publishing, for example, it always used to be how many eyeballs on it. Doesn't matter whether it meant anything to anyone. That wasn't the point, but that becomes the point. So that feeds into the what gets measured gets managed. But the problem with learning is that not everything is easily measured. So therefore, there's a huge danger here that we're just kind of not measuring the right stuff, right? So,
Yes.
and I don't hear the industry talking about that. There's a lot of stuff, exactly what you're saying about impact, but actually, so what is it we need to measure to understand whatever that impact might be? That's one thing. I think the other thing that I thought was quite, it's worth talking about is the Goodhart's law. The idea that once a measure becomes a target, it ceases to be a good measure. So this
Yes.
idea of you start to be judged, don't you, against the target. And that's the point at which people change their behavior. So there's a classic examples like call centers where it says you've got to answer a call, be done with a call within 2 minutes. But the problem with that is the customer satisfaction can plummet because, but all the behaviors are about getting through the call within 2 minutes because that's what you're targeted on. So that's interesting as well because you're basically using data to drive potentially the wrong behaviors. So I think that's
Yes.
something we also need to be aware of. And
Yes.
I think it's not just as simple as measuring everything because we can, because it's obviously easier to, especially in a digital world. I think it's actually, once you look at it, you're thinking about all well, these biases. And I thought another one final thing he talked about was value capture. Now, I thought this was quite interesting. So it's basically, it happens when the value in something is captured by a simpler, something a lot simpler. So, for example, the value in learning might be curiosity and critical thinking, but the capture is test scores. So basically, over time, people start treating test scores as if it's learning. That's what it means. And I think you can see some of that in corporate learning as well. So you have a sort of proxy for something else.
Yes, the most obvious one is learning as people who open the book or people
Yeah.
who went through a program. And you say it's incredibly successful because 86% of the cohort actually went through this whole course. And out of those 86%, 78% finished. What a massive success. And that is a complete proxy for effective learning. And there is not one even iota of attention to whether the learning is effective, and if so, how you would measure it, because it's more difficult. Because one of the problems with learning is it's situated. It's rare that you go into a padded cell all on your own and you learn in abstract. You learn on the job, you learn in the workflow, you learn in the workplace, and there are all sorts of conditions that affect the impact of that learning. I was talking earlier today about leadership and about the really dodgy measurement criteria for leadership programs. And the idea that you can separate a leadership program out from the context in which it's delivered is, to me, abject nonsense, illogical. Because if you are someone doing a leadership program, you finish it, you've got full of ideas. The first day you come in and say, I've got loads of ideas, and your boss says, we can put those back in the cupboard. It's a load of old rubbish. You do what you're told. This is the way we're going to do it here. And you go, all right, oh, okay. Zero learning, zero impact, zero effect. And therefore, you can't blame the learning. You can't say, that was a terrible course. You blame the context and the lack of understanding. So it's more complicated. Learning is so complicated, no one knows what the hell it is anyway. You ask five psychologists to define learning, and you get abject rubbish definitions like learning is memory on the one extreme, to learning is inventing yourself into a new world on a regular basis. And between those two are huge numbers of different paradigms for learning. So if we don't know what learning is, and I would argue that most learning and development people never thought for a minute about what learning is. So if we don't know what it is, it's very hard to measure it apart from in context. Is he, she doing the job better? And these are the criteria we mean by that. Is that leader more effective? And these are the criteria we judge. So it's not the learning you're measuring, it's the output, the outcomes, the performance. So, yeah, I think there's a lot of thought and a lot more thought and a lot more careful thought needs to go into this before we jump on AI. We say to Claude, measure the impact of this course, and Claude will do it for you. No problem at all. Yes, give me the data. I'll tell you what the impact is. And we haven't thought for one second about what we're actually gathering. And as you say, we get this ridiculous way of assuming that certain things are replications of the whole when they're not, or
So I think,
substitutions, or images, or paradigms for, yeah.
I think also, I think it's really, we could, I'd love that you could have a session just on proxies, couldn't you? It's like
Yes.
engagement, right? The problem with this is we've gone down this route of a simpler explanation for something that's quite
Quite
complex.
complicated,
And
exactly.
it's messy. And actually, you don't really understand the full picture because you've just got an engagement score, right? And whatever that means to people, but it is a proxy for something that's a lot more complex and complicated, right? And I think
Yes.
that is a really good point. So I think it was interesting because one of his takeaways was potentially use fewer, simpler metrics. And I do wonder, based on what you've just said, whether, and I don't know why we don't do this. It's just like actually create a set of much simpler metrics in
Yes.
which people self-report. If they can,
Yes.
they've got everything they need for to do their job, and they've got opportunities to learn and develop, and they take them or whatever they might be, and also maybe something from the manager that also looks at that from the other end of the telescope.
Peer group, and the peer group, has
But
this person changed? Is this person doing things differently to the way they were operating before? These are relatively simple and easy, and they're pure. In other words, you're not complicating everything. And if you say, in this narrow area, this is what we know happened, at least that's something. It may not be everything, but it's better than the kind of abject nonsense we have now. And again, just a bugbear. People still talk about 27% ROI on this piece of learning. What a no! I just don't believe that. I just don't believe it. I don't believe you can separate learning. It's not like investing in Cadbury's chocolate, and you either get a return on investment or you get a negative return on investment. Learning is way more complicated, and if you do it out of context, in abstract, and say learning did all of this, I just think you're spitting in the wind, basically. So, Martin, this is a really great topic. We should come back to this, and we should keep talking about it, because not enough people talk about it enough, would be my conclusion. Thank you for bringing it out. Really good topic.
Thank you. And I think thanks to Tim Harford. And if you listen to this, it's one of those topics that really does, there's quite a lot of debate online
Yes.
around this. And I think learning teams are looking at it increasingly. But I do wonder whether it's going to be, everyone's going to be drawn on the amount of data that's being produced, as you say, and rather than actually just taking a massive step away from it and going, what actually are the measures that show what learning may or may not be doing? And I think the problem is because the organization as a whole doesn't understand that, then I think everything goes down into the financial measurement of everything because that's what everyone does understand and push. But if it doesn't apply to learning in the same way as it does other things, then I think learning needs to have a different story and actually a different way of proving its value. Anyway, maybe we should come back to that,
Agree.
as you say.
We
That
should,
was really good.
Martin. Thank you very much. Appreciate you
Thank you.
bringing it up. Have a good weekend. Nice to
Cheers,
talk.
Nigel.
Bye bye.
From scratch.